Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
How do we grow the population of St. Louis? The population in the region has been declining. There is an organization that is growing our population and adding to its vibrancy. It's the St. Louis Mosaic Project. Meet Betsy Cohen next on KMOX Profile.
Welcome to Profiles. From entertainers to athletes, political leaders to entrepreneurs, Profiles gives you an insight into what has made these unique personalities who and what they are today. Now, Profiles on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Welcome to KMOX Profiles. I'm Debbie Monterey, and joining me is Betsy Cohen, the Executive Director of St. Louis Mosaic Project. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Debbie. Glad to be here.
Now, I have been aware of Mosaic Project for some time, but for those who may not have heard of it before, in a nutshell, what is St. Louis Mosaic Project?
St. Louis Mosaic Project answers the question of how do we become a more growing and prosperous region. There was research done in 2012 that showed that we are missing population growth from a foreign-born population. And so the St. Louis Mosaic Project sets to change that by being a more welcoming place for us to attract and retain foreign-born people.
I know that you set a goal early on to really increase those numbers and hit that number even before you had hoped to. Talk a little bit about how we've been doing on that regard.
So one of our original goals was for the St. Louis region to be the fastest growing major metropolitan area for foreign born by the year 2020. And actually in two of the last 3 years, we actually were number one or number two in terms of growth on our small base. And now we have reset two new goals for 2025. One is to, again, continue to be fastest growing major metropolitan area by 2025 for foreign-born growth. And secondly, we have a new goal called 25 by 25, which is to add 25,000 foreign-born people to the region by the year 2025 from the base of 2016, which means we add about 3,000 foreign-born people a year. We would be on a good pace to help augment the growth for the region.
Now, since 2012, when Mosaic Project launched, a lot has changed when it comes to the number of people who are allowed to come to this country, the number of refugees St. Louis is taking in. All of those numbers have really gone down. How is that impacting your goals or even attitudes in the community?
So two parts to that question. The numbers for the country have dropped, but our opportunity is really to recruit foreign-born people who are in the United States legally from all around the United States to come here, whether they're looking for education, whether they're looking to start a business or join their family, or to have professional opportunities, particularly in our STEM field. So it really doesn't change for us that we have to be welcoming. We have to be a region that shows that we want people to add to our diversity, and we keep up the pressure to be very welcoming and warm so that newcomers feel welcomed here.
Well, I want to get to that because that's an important part of Mosaic, I know, is when we do get people here, how do we keep them here and make them feel welcome? But let's talk about the foreign-born who are in St. Louis, because I think, unfortunately, there might be a perception by some that if you're foreign-born, you are poor or you're uneducated or you'll be relying on the government. So tell me about the foreign-born that we have here and why they are an important part of our economy.
So we have just under 5% of our regional population is foreign-born. And that's actually quite a small number because in the United States, the number is about 13.5% foreign-born. So we have just under 5% foreign-born. And they come from all parts of the world with very high skill levels as well as less skill. Some come with great English. Some come with English that is not so well developed. We have international students that are the best and the brightest from around the world, and they count in that number. We have international immigrant entrepreneurs that are here at Cortex and 39 North and T-Rex that make up part of our foreign-born population. We have professionals. We have refugees. We have people that are in our schools and that are in our companies that make up this big mix of foreign-born people. And really, they come from all over the world. They come from India, China, Mexico, Bosnia, and then from just dozens of other countries after that.
So is it true that foreign-born tend to be more entrepreneurial, more likely to start a business?
Yes, the data shows in our region that foreign-born people are about 60% more likely than our native-born population to start a business. Often when people come from another country, they are kept from the profession that they had in their home country for a range of reasons, credentialing, skills, language. So they open businesses. And when they open businesses, there are two kinds of businesses. Either it's a neighborhood business, like ZB Market on South Grand, or it could be a high-tech business that's at Cortex or T-Rex, and that is a scalable international business that starts out being global right from the start, and that makes us a more vibrant region because we have these businesses being started here. We also have a lot of international people that move here. When they're starting their companies, they're coming through various of our competitions like Arch Grants, and they add to the business environment that we have.
Yeah, you mentioned ZB on South Grand. I know Leon is, his wife teaches Spanish at my kids' school. But that's a great example of how foreign-born add to the flavor of our neighborhoods. I think South Grand has 22 immigrant-owned businesses and some of the best restaurants that you will find anywhere.
Yes, and now we actually have an influx of Brazilians that are coming, both from Nestle Purina, InBev, Bungie, Bayer, the plant science area, so we're having more Brazilian restaurants, and it really does add to the talent and to the cultural and food diversity of our region.
So when you, as the executive director of St. Louis Mosaic Project, you're looking at this big picture of, first of all, convincing people to come here, but then also maybe why they wouldn't stay or what some of the challenges might be. So what have you found to be some of the challenges for making foreign-born new St. Louisans feel happy and wanting to stay?
Getting people to come is one thing, but getting them to stay is a separate issue. For example, we know that when people come with our universities or our international companies, they often bring a spouse. And if the spouse can't be happy, then the person who moved here for the job also won't be happy. So we have several programs to help those accompanying partners when they move here. One is called our International Women's Spouse Program, and 300 international women get together and have baby showers and tour our sites. They go to Belleville, to the Hofbrauhaus, and they go to the History Museum, and they bond with each other. We have another program, which is an International Women's Mentoring Program, where international women get matched with a local woman to be their mentor so they can truly understand and love the region. And we've started a program for the men that have moved here with an accompanying partner. So that's one way to make the family feel happy. A second area is often people need to find a job or they want to volunteer. If they're authorized to work, then we help them network in our Professional Connector program and connect them with someone in their field so they can feel validated, like somebody here understands their profession, what they have done. Or sometimes they cannot work here due to their visa or they don't want to work in the St. Louis region, and then we match them with volunteer opportunities.
I think as English-speaking Americans, we often don't think about how overwhelming it would be to move to another country, because when we go places, we just expect everyone to speak to us in English. You know, like how overwhelming Yes. it would be to move to another country where everything's different, including the language, and the communication aspect is a big barrier sometimes.
People feel very lonely when they come. It actually hits several months after they move here, when, you know, one spouse might be working, the other spouse then is getting the family situated. And several months into it, they suddenly go, what about me? And that's where relocation people can do a great job bringing people. But then several months into it, we work with the human resource departments and help them understand that we're here so that those families can truly feel connected and welcomed and have friends. We do other activities, such as Mayor Crewson is going to be holding a reception for some of these international people and their spouses and their mentors to welcome them to the region, and that will be happening shortly.
And I'm sure that that makes a great story to the folks back home. I was hanging out with the mayor
today.
They
do. These international people love to take pictures with the mayor, and they send it all over the world, and that really gives them pride in their new home of St. Louis. We have other activities that take place, such as at the Danforth Plant Science Center, where we try and welcome all the cultures that are in our entrepreneurial community for the plant science community.
You know, it reminds me when I was a kid, because my parents both moved here from another country. So I'm a first generation American. My dad spoke English and had a job right away, but my mom didn't speak a word. And she was home by herself watching a lot of TV, trying to learn the language. And she never really mentioned it until years later. She said, that was the loneliest time of my life. They didn't have a Mosaic project at the time, but, you know, there weren't a lot of Dutch people around to speak Dutch to. So she just sat around the house and waited for my dad to come home.
Yeah, I think that that's probably true if each of us looks into our family's history that, you know, when relatives first came, mine came from Germany, they, you know, really didn't have much grasp of English in the beginning, and it took time. We spend a time now referring people to many English programs all around the region. There are many ways that individuals learn English. They learn English at the International Institute. There are groups that meet at the Schlafly Library and talk English and learn English. The Parkway School District, many places, religious groups help individuals learn English, because getting a grasp of English is the entry point for people to become connected to neighbors and to schools and to the workplace. So it's very important.
Well, we need to take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about some of the companies that are helping Mosaic Project and maybe what people listening can do to help as well. Stay with us on KMOX Profiles.
More of Profiles coming up on KMOX. Now, back to Profiles on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Welcome back to KMOX Profiles. I'm Debbie Monterey, and Betsy Cohen of the St. Louis Mosaic Project is here with me. She is the executive director, and this is an important project for a lot of groups in the area. You're under the auspices of what organization? Tell people how Mosaic Project is kind of set up.
Right. So the St. Louis Mosaic Project is a regional initiative that is within the World Trade Center of St. Louis, which is actually part of our St. Louis Economic Development Partnership, which invests in this along with other partners.
Because companies do need workers. They need trained, skilled workers. They need people with certain expertise. And sometimes that means people from other countries, right?
Yes. It's really important to understand that often our foreign-born neighbors are filling in the job market. Right now, we have unemployment in the St. Louis region that is at an all-time low, even below the national average, close to 3%, which means so many jobs go unfilled at both the high-skilled level and at the more hourly level. So we get involved with companies that are looking to attract, particularly in the STEM fields, where we know that many international people have STEM skills in the science, technology, and, you know, engineering and math. We also have people that call us because they have warehouse jobs, production jobs, hourly jobs, and we often refer them to the workplace team at the International Institute, who actually posts and connects more hourly workers with employers that need employees. In addition, the International Institute does a training program called Career Advancement for International Professionals, which is six sessions that will train foreign-born professionals who've never worked in the United States on how to get a job, and then we help network.
Now, I noticed looking at your website how many ambassador companies there are. So I guess, first of all, what does an ambassador company do? And these are big-name companies in this area that everyone would recognize. So what's in it for them?
So St. Louis Mosaic ambassador companies are companies that are really looking for two things. Either they're looking to get a broader applicant pool because right now they're having a hard time finding workers, or they want to serve our community better. And they understand, for example, that population growth right now is coming from our foreign-born population. So, for example, Schnucks, you know, they want to have the broadest ability to hire talent, but they also want to serve the tastes of a growing ethnic community. So we have large companies, we have small companies, and they post jobs at the St. Louis Mosaic Project website. They help us do mock interviews with international students. They will let us help network if someone has a skill that needs to understand, such as human resources. What does that mean in our country? And so our ambassador companies will sometimes let someone who's foreign-born shadow and understand really the contextual language of a job skill.
Now, you mentioned that a lot of people who do come to this country don't necessarily, they're not able to do the kind of job that they had done before. Is that changing at all? I mean, if somebody was a doctor in another country and then they come here, obviously there are a lot of things that they need to do. But are there attempts to kind of make a transition easier for people who are trying to get maybe close to the profession they were doing at one point?
Not really. It's tough. You know, our country does protect jobs for Americans, and state by state, we have different organizations that have requirements for what you need to do in the state of Missouri or in the United States, which really does make it very difficult for people that are bringing credentials from around the world. Just like if you or I were to go to another country, it could be very hard for any of our degrees or skills to immediately plug in. I think what's important, though, is that we can help people either retrain through programs at our community college or through specialized learning where our marketplace has workplace needs. There are ways for people to become apprentices, to retrain, and sometimes we can help guide them if they had a skill in their home country. We try to then get them retrained in that field to meet the needs of the St. Louis job market if we don't have people in our market to fill those jobs.
Now, I do want to ask you about a documentary that came out, and it was called One Day, correct?
Day One.
I have not seen it yet, but we're working to get another screening because I definitely want to see it. And it was about our foreign-born community, and particularly about a school where there are a lot of kids who were not necessarily born here. And you were in that documentary. Can you talk a little bit about the message of that film?
Yes. One of our local architects, Peter Tao, who's a steering committee member of Mosaic, was very involved in helping get filmmakers from Los Angeles to come and film at the Nahid Chapman School, which is an academy as part of the St. Louis Public Schools, where many of the refugee or immigrant children who don't speak English can go for 2 years before they get mainstreamed back into the schools. And the Day One documentary told the story of five teenagers that have come from really war-torn parts of the world and now have a chance to start over. Several of the students were shining academically. Several of them were really struggling. And you can see the uplifting nature of this chance that these young people are getting to start fresh in our country, to bring their talents, to move on. And several are now going on to college and advanced degrees. So it's really uplifting, even though you can stress when you see what they've been through to get to our country, coming through the Refugee Resettlement Program, which is run through our International Institute.
Yeah, I feel silly that I didn't even know this school existed or that this documentary existed. So it just goes to show, no matter how plugged in you think you are. Folks, when I find out about the next screening, I will make sure to let folks know. But is this going to be a waterworks kind of thing? I cry very easily. I'm sure I will.
I think it makes you cry, but more it just kind of grabs your heart to see what families and young people, when they've been in refugee camps around the world, and then they have a chance through the UN to go to one of 10 countries, and some come to the United States, they come through the International Institute, the parents are learning English and job skills and retraining, and then those young people have a chance to learn English with other people from around the world that speak different languages, and then they get love and attention. The staff, you really get a sense in the movie that the staff, the faculty, the support at the Nahid Chapman Institute is so strong, and they care, and they really offer kind of a wraparound service for these young people, because often their parents don't know how to fill out forms. They don't know how to help them go to college because those parents are just working new jobs to get established here. But through the St. Louis Public School, they can get the help they need for these young people to get on a pathway toward having success in our society and being contributing members.
All right. And speaking of schools, when we come back on KMOX Profiles, we'll talk about ambassador schools and still other ways that people can help besides just being aware. We're talking about St. Louis Mosaic Project with Betsy Cohen. We'll be right back after this.
More of Profiles coming up on KMOX. Now, back to Profiles on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
It's KMOX Profiles. I'm Debbie Monterey, and my guest is Betsy Cohen, the Executive Director of St. Louis Mosaic Project. which has been very instrumental in not just welcoming foreign-born to the St. Louis region, but also helping to make them feel welcome and appreciated and to stay here. Now, I know that there are a lot of different groups that have kind of popped up, Betsy, in our community, of especially when we had Syrian refugees coming here, people who wanted to help and people who wanted to do things. I think sometimes people don't know what to do. I think they don't know exactly, you know, you want to help, but it feels awkward, especially if someone doesn't maybe speak English. And so people just sort of back off. What would be your advice to someone who wants to be welcoming, but isn't really sure how to go about it?
I think that that's a great question, Debbie, about welcoming. And I think it comes down to understanding, you know, how would you like to feel welcomed if you were in a country that was not your home country and was going to be your new home country? We have ambassadors, which are individuals through the Mosaic Project that sign on to be ambassadors, which means they themselves in their own life will be more welcoming. So we recommend things like having coffee or a meal with someone that you might know on your street or from the workplace that you've never taken the time beside just going by them. To have a little bit more, a moment of tea, a moment of coffee, that reaching out. For example, if you're in a store and you see someone maybe speaking a different language, just smiling at them, making them feel that you see them and that you value them and that you just are, you know, welcome them as a person. Eye contact, a smile, that really can change a lot. I think the other areas that we see are how schools, companies, individuals become welcoming. We have a program for Mosaic Ambassador Schools, and your school is our newest one that we are now going to have as one of our Mosaic Ambassador School, St. Margaret's of Scotland. And I was over there just recently meeting with your diversity leader at the school. And again, their school, like many schools, are looking at ways that they can engage their staff and their teachers and the families and the students and be more knowledgeable about holidays, materials, things that they might want to have a second language for, maybe a very popular piece of material, not everything. Or there might be one page on the website that they want in a second language if they're trying to attract a certain part of the community to want to consider their school, for example. So there are activities, there are ways that some of the evening events can be shifted. I get calls because trivia nights are very important in St. Louis, but what we find is our international families, the foreign-born families, don't know our trivia.
Yeah.
And so,
and frankly, there's so many trivia nights, the questions get really hard.
Yeah, so I worked with some of the PTOs, and I've suggested, for example, that they try like a geography night. And that gets a much better receptivity for some of these international and local families. Or I had a call from a school and they said, well, you know, our pancake breakfast isn't getting as many attendees. And I said, try, you know, breakfast of the world and passport night. So we're seeing a shift among schools who are looking at ways that they can do what they've always done, but also bring in more of these characteristics that will be welcoming. And I think that is something that's good for all of us to learn, is to try new restaurants. If you go to an international restaurant, meet the owner, find out their story, find out what brought them to St. Louis, and learn a little bit about their culture and show your support.
Yeah, and I would highly recommend, you know, people can take a tour of the International Institute, too. I took my Girl Scout troop there along with a bunch of parents, and it was really eye-opening, I think, just for these girls and their parents to see what folks go through to, you know, take the classes to learn how to be a citizen. And frankly, no one passed the sample citizenship test. Well, I'm not bragging, but I did. But it was hard. It was really hard. So it's really, all different ways just to kind of understand what other people are going through, because it's outside our daily lives.
And this is something that I speak with at the World Trade Center. We have three pillars of what we do. One is we work with import-export and companies. The second is we help attract companies that are looking to move to St. Louis. And then the third is the St. Louis Mosaic Project, which is the people side. And often when I'm talking to companies that are looking to move here, we have trade missions and they come, we explain all the ways that they will be welcomed and how we can connect them, because in many ways, the Mosaic Project is a navigator. We can connect them to hundreds of organizations, including our International Institute, where they could take a tour and they could learn about classes and citizenship and English and job training. And we explain all the ways that they could be connected to other groups in the region that want them to be successful. And certainly the International Institute is one of our key collaborating partners, but there are also hundreds of others that are out there working really hard to have us be a growing, thriving, diverse region, because we do. We need to take care of the people that are here, but we also need to welcome newcomers.
I thought it was really interesting when I was at the Mosaic Steering Committee meeting and learning about, was it the mentor program? There was a woman who had moved here with her husband from Japan. And just like we had talked about earlier in the program, she felt very isolated and lonely because she didn't drive and she was stuck at home. And so through Mosaic, she basically found a buddy.
Yes, the International Women's Mentoring Program now has over 50 international women being buddied one-on-one with 50 local women, and they'll be starting another group of 10 soon, 5 international and 5 local. And really, the woman that spoke to our steering committee, I mean, she truly expressed the depression she felt, the sadness. I mean, people come to my office and they literally are crying. Because they're so lonely, because they can't carry their career with them, because their spouse is working in their home. And then when they get matched through one of our programs professionally or with a local buddy, all of a sudden, you know, they feel with one friend that they have kind of happiness. And there's someone they can ask a question like, what is a trivia night? Or, you know, they can find out what do we mean by certain phrases mm-hmm. that we use in our region? Or how could they find out a way to learn more English, for example, or to volunteer? We've also had people who found jobs through the women that have mentored them. They share their resumes. And the more that we can help people connect, and that's really the biggest message I give to our foreign-born community is, as you make connections, you will have more friendships, but you also will have more professional opportunity because it's connected to both your English and the size of your networks. And when more people know who you are and what you do, you're going to both enjoy the St. Louis region and you're going to be more successful here.
Now, is that a program that is limited to how many mentors are available, or is it something that a program that you're just kind of slowly growing as you go?
So we have some support for this program, and what we do is we gather the names of the local women who want to be a mentor, and we gather the names of the foreign-born women that are seeking a mentor. They get met, and then they wait as teams of 5 local and 5 international get put together, both on buddies and as a cohort group, and then they kick off each group of 10.
That's great. And is this the group that's going to meet with the mayor?
Yes, several of those groups. Several of these cohorts of local and international and their husbands or their spouses and partners will be meeting with the mayor.
All right. When we return, we'll talk more about the Mosaic Project, maybe some of the best successes that Betsy has seen since kicking this off in 2012, and maybe what Betsy does when she's not doing Mosaic Projects. So stay with us as we wrap things up on KMOX Profiles.
More of Profiles coming up on KMOX. Now, back to Profiles on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Welcome back to KMOX Profiles. We're speaking with the executive director of St. Louis Mosaic Project, that is Betsy Cohen. And I do have to ask, Betsy, before you began heading up Mosaic Project back in 2012, What did you do before this? What was your life before Mosaic?
So I had a long career at Nestle Purina, where I had been a vice president of marketing. And so when that career finished, I had a chance to move from marketing pet food to marketing St. Louis.
Well, can't argue about that. Now, I know Nestle Purina right now, they have a whole international division. I mean, not even intentionally, but I'm trying to remember, I met a bunch of people and a lot of Brazilians, like you mentioned.
Correct, a lot of Brazilians. and you know, during my career at Nestle Purina, I was one of those people who always was reaching out to newcomers that were coming through corporately. And I personally always enjoyed that ability to introduce newcomers internationally to our region. And that was what I loved doing. So as I was leaving that career and heard that the region had done research and was going to hire the first director for this new initiative, I went and pushed and said, I think I would love to be the one to do it. And they interviewed several people and I was selected. And it has been just a remarkable opportunity to meet so many international people and see so many of them have success in our region.
So I know that must be very rewarding. Can you give us any examples of maybe some of the most rewarding things that have come out of doing what you do?
I would say when I see someone who comes to my office, so for example, we had a family that came here from Azerbaijan, and when I first met them, the parents spoke very little English, and they had two children, and they struggled and took some menial jobs to start, and now they are, again, much more successful. They've bought into a small business. The wife has a mentor. She now actually got her first full-time job. And when she ran in my office hugging me, it was just so rewarding. The other thing is that I see that there's successes when we get ideas and we try new ideas. We have a men's mentoring program that we're looking to see if we can get that off the ground. And we actually just did a program with some teens internationally and some local teens. A local teen had come to me and said, let's try it. So we tried it. And then when I see what's going on with the soccer community here, several years ago, I knew that soccer was really important to our immigrant community. And so we started at the St. Louis Mosaic Project, encouraging many soccer activities and working with the Football Club of St. Louis and having activities around soccer. And so my colleague Vin Coe is now also very involved because he is a really big soccer fan and player and well-known. He is doing everything he can to help as our region expands, and hopefully we'll attract that soccer.
So is there an actual Mosaic team?
No, there's no Mosaic team, but we have had our different groups go to the games that are here, and we always are sharing information about it. We actually had an amazing opportunity through Peter Tao and the construction industry here that they, 2 years ago, actually created a soccer field at the Naheed Chapman Refugee School because these young people from all over the world did not have anywhere to release all their frustrations. There was no field. And they actually came together and donated the time and the money and created a soccer field for these young students from around the world that are here. And that day when it got opened was so rewarding because you saw parents from around the world and our local construction community coming together through soccer to show how welcoming the region was. And many of those parents said in their home country, you would never see a construction industry coming together, building a soccer field for refugee kids. So it was extremely heartwarming.
What could people in the community do? Is Mosaic Project always looking for volunteers, or what do you need from the public to kind of keep your mission going?
So we need people to reach out to foreign-born people that you know and that you see in your daily life. We also are often recommending people volunteering to the hundreds of organizations. On our website, we have a resource page, and there's a map that connects all the different groups that serve our foreign-born community. And so there's a way that you can just click on it and you can see. There's an ecosystem map that the Clark Fox Foundation, on the Clark Fox Family Foundation website, they have ecosystem maps of different areas such as education and immigration. And on those maps, you can see many organizations. So if you're interested in health, you could find somewhere to volunteer. Or if you're interested in our foreign-born population in the health community, or their housing, or education, or English. Or it's also easy to go to the International Institute's website. They have a whole tab on volunteer opportunities, and they have hundreds of people who find hands-on ways to volunteer through the International Institute, which is just outstanding.
Yeah, and going back to, you know, I think some people want to be welcoming, but there's that feeling of awkwardness. I would say that almost 99.9% of foreign-born people that I have met are very excited and honored if you ask them about where they came from. You know, if you show an interest in their story. So people can really just throw that awkward feeling behind, because that person is going to be very glad that you reached out to them.
And I think when people reach out to our foreign-born community, what they'll see is that the families that are here, regardless of where they're from, regardless of their skill level, They want the same things we want. They want to live in safe communities. They want to have opportunities for their children. They want to be able to have a community that they can be a part of. And that's the shared values that we have. And I think as we understand that, we can relate as people, as friends, and it makes us all better.
All right. So when you're not running Mosaic and running around to all of the various events, what does Betsy Cohen like to do? What are some of your favorite St. Louis-y things? If you were to tell people coming into your office and wanting to know, what should we do for fun? What does Betsy do?
I like to explore the culture we have. I like our museums. I like opera theater. I like going to the history museum. I like exploring some of the new artists at the Contemporary Museum or the Pulitzer. So I enjoy the culture and the foods of the region.
You know, absolutely. We are blessed with some great food and tons of culture. I mean, there's really no reason not to just take a taste of all of it.
And certainly sports. My husband and I share some tickets with other people for the Cardinal game. So you'll see me at some of those, not all of them, but some of those. And just the spirit of our region is just so important.
Well, Betsy, thank you so much for spending time, and thank you for what you do with Mosaic Project.
Thanks, Debbie. Great, you know, really happy to be here.
Betsy Cohen is the executive director of St. Louis Mosaic Project. And what is the website if people want to get more information?
STLMosaicProject.org.
All right. Thanks for joining us here on KMOX for KMOX Profiles. I'm Debbie Monterey.
You've been listening to Profiles. If you missed any of this episode or to hear other profiles, go to KMOX.com and click On Demand.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.